There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
The only place I witnessed that was worse than that was when I went to China when I was a kid. There was one day where we went to a shopping mall and I had to go to the loo there, and that was squat loos. But not only that, no doors. Straight up in front of each other, piss and shit.
Oh my God.
There was a guy that I used to know, like, oh God, this must have been like 30 years ago. I remember him talking about how he desperately needed to fart when it was in House of Fraser. And I remember he said that it was a really early Sunday morning or something. And he walked in and he did that thing of scanning around, noting there was no one there, and thinking, I'm just going to walk quickly, let one rip kind of thing. So he walked really quickly, had a little pump. And suddenly he heard a kind of, ew, what's that smell? Behind him. And there was a little boy who...
a little tiny Tim.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah. We actually had someone let rip in... I don't think we mentioned this as part of our holiday roundup from our New York trip. That when we were wandering around the gift shop of the Met, we just had a bloke just like... do a
yeah,
huge
my
golf.
God. He wouldn't yeah. stop, would he? Just
he was just brazenly doing it.
It was hilarious.
It was hilarious. I'm not entirely sure he could hear himself, but yeah, it was good fun. Yeah.
No, maybe he wasn't really conscious of how loud they were, but they were rippers.
Welcome to episode 172 of the Women's Running Podcast. I'm your host, Esther Newman, and she's your other host, Holly Taylor. On this podcast, we talk about health, politics, stuff on TV, and what we ate last night. Occasionally, we talk about running. After some very excited chat about meal delivery companies, we get on to the important stuff, marathon recovery. I've had a bit of a time of it with my lungs not getting back up to speed as quickly as I'd like. As per usual, we quickly get on to me punishing myself, Holly suggesting a bit of self-care, and me not knowing who I am unless I'm running. It's a story as old as time, or at least as old as this podcast. We'd love to hear your thoughts and experiences on this. Also, we have a few letters, some of which are about the toilet situation in the US, which has had us shook since we returned a few weeks ago.
And I need a stretch.
I know, and I'm hungry. I've got
starving
legs calling my name.
Absolutely starving. And you know, like, I'm going to go to Waitrose after this, after I've dropped off the stuff to you. Mm-hmm. And then I'm just going to buy all the things.
Buy all the things. I love doing that. At the moment, I love doing a bit of Waitrose sushi because, much to maybe some of our listeners' shock, I have kind of gone like full pesky now.
Have you? I didn't know that.
I know.
That,
well, I don't I still don't eat fish at home. But so when I say full pescatarian, I mean I'm probably eating fish like a couple of times a month because we still don't eat fish at home because Doug wouldn't eat fish. But I'm just finding it a little bit easier. And I know there are so many of you out there who listen who are fantastic vegans and veggies who I'm sure will tell me exactly what I'm doing wrong. And please do, because any support is much needed. But I've just been feeling quite sluggish and I naturally find it easy to do a lot of carbs and cheese and it's mainly the dairy, I think, in my diet. So I just find it a bit easier to think of food when that's dairy free and a bit less stodgy if it's like fish and stuff.
I feel the same actually. Fish and meat related, I find it much easier in a way to eat food that I know agrees with me I've got something
it's a bit
really
simpler.
Yeah, a real big chunk of protein in there, because if you get rid of the big chunk of protein, you tend to replace it with carb, don't you? So it's like,
yeah, and you know, sometimes those veggie replacement things can be blooming delish, as we've discussed before, but they can be full of stuff, and I'm never quite sure whether some of it's irritating my tum.
And
beans and lentils, obviously, as we've discussed many times before, can end up forming a huge part of my diet and of my protein and stuff. And it can just give me the awful shits and farts. But I tell you one thing I've done, and I'm going to talk about it. I wasn't sure whether to, mainly because I know they sponsor quite a lot of podcasts, and I didn't want them to not sponsor ours because I'm giving them free coverage, but I'm going to give them free coverage because it's that good.
Yeah, go on.
I have become a HelloFresh convert. I think people might think that I am on commission, or that maybe it's a cult, because I've been talking to everybody I know nonstop about fucking HelloFresh. God.
What I want to ask you though is, since starting HelloFresh, I assume, because I did Mindful Chef for a while, I didn't do HelloFresh, but I assume you get recipe cards, do you, with it?
Yes.
So do you then, have you ever, since doing it, have you ever made the meal without having all the ingredients handily pre-portioned for you?
Well, I may have to get back to you because I've only been doing it for 10 days. So it's not really enough time, but I do very much see your point. Some of the things I can imagine I would, because like, you know, sometimes the cupboard stuff you need is like soy sauce and I don't know, other stuff that you would have in your pantry. Well, I would, but sometimes it'll be like, I don't know, I made a stir fry last night that had a sort of paste that I've never heard of and I'd have no idea where I would ever buy. So that's, I'm afraid, got to go. That recipe card's in the bin. But then some of the stuff that's really easy, yeah, but it'll be like, you just add tomato puree and dried basil or whatever. A tin of chopped tomatoes. I made a very, very nice bean stew last week that went down really well. And I have saved that one because I was like, I will do that again. But it won't be the same, because there is a part of me that really, really enjoys feeling like I'm on a Nigella thing.
It's wonderful, isn't it? Having all the things
in front
of you.
It's amazing.
What I
love it. It's so much quicker because of not having to portion too. Genuinely, yes. I do think that measuring out amounts of soy sauce or amounts of sugar or amounts of whatever, if you're making something, it does shave the time off just being able to squeeze or tip or whatever, dunk something
it does,
in.
Yeah, it distills the cooking process into all the fun bits. But like what I really, really loved about it was that there would occasionally be a sort of a very small method change that has then informed the way that I cook in the future. So for instance, with Mindful Chef, God, is this boring? I don't think it is boring, is it?
It's my favorite thing to discuss. I'm sorry to the listeners if they're not enjoying it, but I'm having a great time.
But with that one, I remember that for some of the stir-fry-y type curry things, that when I do a stir-fry, I chop up a load of coriander and I whack it on top like a great big kind of, like a toupee of coriander, right?
Mm.
And they suggested that what I do is chop up the coriander, mix it in with the rice underneath the stir fry, and then put the stir fry on top. And I have to say that has been an absolute game changer. So that has remained.
I love doing that too. Oh, yeah, there are definite tips and tricks that I feel I've already picked up. I mean, I say that none. Oh, well, no, one that I was thinking of for my lovely bean stew, you were supposed to top it with sour cream, but it recommended, and this sounds so like, am I an absolute cretin who's never turned a kettle on before? But they were like, oh, put a bit of salt and pepper in your sour cream, stir it all up, and then whack it on top. Instead of sort of like seasoning the thing, it was just really nice. It meant that you had like a nice, I really wanted a mouthful of the sour cream rather than it just being slightly sort of flavor. It was like, oh yeah, I'm excited to mix a bit of that into my next mouthful. Just really enjoying it. However, I think we do need to talk about the elephant in the room with HelloFresh, which is tiny, tiny little packets of cheese, tiny little packets of shit. Just stuff in lots of little plastic packets that for that same bean recipe, you grated a little bit of cheese on top at the end, and I was literally sent two tiny little blocks of cheddar like you get on a plane, one for each bowl of thing, and it was like, come on, that's not ideal.
Yeah. It's tricky, isn't it? I mean, I know that there is an argument from those kind of prepackaged meal things, isn't there? That they are in fact reducing waste because you're not throwing out any kind of excess food that you're not using.
I mean, that's so true. We've not thrown any of it away so far. Yeah. We had like no food waste last week. Doug went to take the bins out, and I was like, "It's got about four tea bags and a little bit of rice I spilt on the floor, mate." So. It's not the usual sort of half a cauliflower that went black because I didn't know how else to use it again.
Yeah. So I think there's that. I think there's probably arguments on both sides. We definitely had issues with Mindful Chef in terms of the packaging, but they worked really hard on that, I remember, so that that after a while, because you'd get all like any kind of meat or dairy there'd be something to keep it cold that we weren't sure of how to dispose of, and there's lots of cardboard and there's lots of, you know, packets and
yeah, that's what I've got with Bloomin' HelloFresh. I've already got, I've only done one fucking week of it, and I've got so many cool bags, and I don't need any more. I've already got a selection of cool bags because I'm from the sort of family that every single holiday we did as a child was camping. So I've got a lot of freezer blocks knocking about, and I don't need any more, and it feels really wasteful to just chuck them in the bin. Do you know, or does anybody listening know, is there like a sit, can you like, can I return them? Like when HelloFresh man comes today, can I give him back the things?
Well, have a look on the website, because I know that Mindful Chef take them back. Also, I think that Mindful Chef do a thing where you can cut them and tip them down the sink, and they're biodegradable. And I don't know if that's the same with HelloFresh. So,
no, HelloFresh's ones say in big letters, do not recycle.
Oh, really? Oh, then in which case they should take them back. Go and have a look on the website. They'll probably take them back.
Yeah.
I'm sure they will.
Okay, I hope so. Because that's the only thing that's making me feel a bit bad. But I've got to confess, for our current lifestyle, we haven't got time to do a big shop. I would have time to maybe do like a Tesco delivery or something, but I'm just quite enjoying not being asked. As soon as it gets expensive enough that I feel as though it's not worth it, because we're doing four meals a week and it's like 30 quid, which for me is less than I would spend on well, it's eight meals, but four nights for the two of us, I would probably spend more than 30 quid on that if I was going to the shop. So at the moment it's worth it, but that's because I signed up during a Black Friday thing or something that means that I've got 20% off until the end of the year or something. So when it becomes less affordable, I might stop. But at the moment, oh my God, it's amazing. Anyway, sorry. Oh, so dull. How are you?
I'm all right. I'm all right. I'll just end up talking about running. Should we?
Should.
Do you think we should do a jingle?
Oh, go sure on. We haven't done the running bit jingle for 57,000 years. So let's do it.
The running bit.
Hurrah! We're back at it again. Are you? I am a bit. We haven't even discussed this prior to this. Yeah, I'm, well, my only news on the running front is that my friend Lex, lovely friend of the pod Lex, is doing the Bath Half. And I haven't yet signed up to it, but I have, mainly because, I'm not going to lie, it's really expensive.
It is expensive.
But I have been running with her, you know, like 5K on a Monday after work or something. And it's been very, very lovely to run with a friend again because I haven't done that for ages. So, yeah, enjoying that. That's my only news, really. I'm feeling quite strong. I was saying to her last Monday that we didn't set out to do 5K that day. We had both had crap days. My offer got rejected on my dream house, which... Don't worry, dear listener. It had been, I'm very erratic, and it had been my dream house for approximately 48 hours, so I'm over it now. But I was very sad. And Lex had had a crap day at work as well, so we absolutely pelted it, and then we were like, "Fucking hell, we just did like 5K in like really decent time."
And amazing.
So we were both feeling quite strong then, which was really good. But we'll see. We'll see how it goes today. Maybe we'll have to be humbled. But our last week sesh was really good. So yeah, we've just been meeting up on a Monday to do that, and it's been really nice. It's injected a bit of sort of pep in my step again while it's been so freezing cold.
Oh, that sounds lovely, because it has been absolutely freezing, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Have you had
How about you, though?
I'm all right. I think it's kind of like, I think... And it's weird, isn't it? Because the last time we did a proper pod, I think we were just talking about New York, weren't we? And kind of all the fun times we had.
We've not discussed any of your come down from New York.
Yeah,
or how things
I was gonna
have
say,
been,
so
whether you've even run actually, since.
I've not really even had a chance to really, really go full whinge, but I'm going to take this opportunity to do that.
Let's go. Should we have a whinge jingle? Oh, we need one.
I do need a whinge jingle. But I think it seems appropriate that the whinge comes within the running bit.
Okay.
Yeah, no, it's really weird. So it's been like, how long has it been now? 4 weeks? 3 weeks? I forget how long it's been.
Oh,
anyway,
God.
It's been some
weeks.
Yeah,
three. It's been three and a bit weeks.
Well, 3 weeks since we got back, is it? Yeah, that seems right.
Actually, 3 weeks since we got back.
Yeah, it's kind of it's been a bit of a slog, I have to say. I'm gonna find some words to say in a minute. But like when we got back on that Tuesday, like all of that week was completely wiped out for both of us, wasn't it? Like jet lag and the fact that we were doing another event on the Thursday. There was so much stuff going on, so much stuff.
It was bonkers.
Stressed and it was
fumes. It was running on fumes completely.
Running on fumes. Yeah. So I did no running, no exercise at all for a complete week. And then I went for a run on the Sunday. And since then, I've been back on it in terms of amount of stuff, but not in terms of like any kind of distance or whatever. So I'm back to running four times a week. I'm doing boot camp once a week.
Can I just say that's nuts? I mean, that's amazing that you're doing that, but I don't think you need to feel any sort of like... I don't know what you're about to say. Maybe you're not about to, but I was worried that you were going to be feeling any kind of like guilt at not doing the kind of distances and the kind of like length of time of running that you were doing, because that is very, very impressive to be doing 3 weeks after a marathon.
No, I absolutely don't want to be running the lengths that I was doing before. So I'm at the moment,
okay,
I'm quite happy doing what I'm doing. So every single run, like on my Garmin, when I finish my run, every single run says I've been doing base running, right? So I am not going fast.
Perfect.
I am not doing any technical running. I'm not doing anything like that at all. I am just going, and all my midweek runs are 5k, and my run at the weekend is about 10k ish or has been for the last 2 weeks anyway.
Yeah,
and it's been it's been a mixed bag. It's been a mixed bag. And I wasn't quite going to go back to doing quite as much as I started off by doing. But in a way, I did want to test myself, because the first week, particularly, and I raised this on Patreon, actually, in that first week, so like 2 weeks after the New York, I was really conscious of, it wasn't my legs that felt shit, but my lungs felt shit. And I don't know if this is to do with asthma, but it does seem like, anecdotally, from me talking about it on Patreon and then people responding, which has been brilliant, actually, it does feel like it's a thing where you, when you've done a long, when you've done a marathon, that essentially your lungs get battered because of all the hard work that you're putting them through. It makes sense, doesn't it?
Is it
that
like you're kind DOMS of, for your lungs? Literally, it's like,
I, do you know? Yeah, I think it, there's something about, and I'm sure because my lungs are kind of slightly buggered anyway because of asthma and stuff, and chest infections. I don't know what kind of, you know, sometimes, like, I've had things where they've sort of said, oh, there might be some scarring on your lungs. So I think, you know, when you do things or when you suffer from things, you might not be able to see the effects on the outside, but I think there are effects on the inside. And so I think that kind of my lungs have reduced capacity anyway because of, you know, being shit and wheezy. But I think, I definitely think that there is something to be said about, and I'd be so interested to find out more people's opinions on this, I think there's something to be said for doing a marathon in whatever kind of temperature or duration or whatever, and the knock-on effect that it has to your lung capacity and how long it takes you to get over it. And it was, do you know what I found really weird? So it for the first, it's particularly that first week. So I did like four runs in that first week. I took them really, really, really slow and they were short. And it was, I could just feel, it felt like I was getting over something or coming down with something. That's what it felt like.
Yeah.
And I knew that I wasn't, you know, I felt absolutely fine. I didn't feel like I was in, you know, as soon as I'd got back home and I recovered and something, you know, and stuff like that, I didn't feel like I was unwell in any other way. It was just on the run, it felt like my lungs were kind of maybe 2/3 capacity, that, and they felt, okay, they felt a bit sore. So breathing was just a bit more difficult. And whenever I have anything that's lung or asthma related, it always makes me feel very sad. So I had a good kind of week, 10 days of just feeling really sad, because it feels more permanent than it is. Because in the last few days, it's been absolutely fine. But anyway, right. So
yeah, well, it does feel permanent, but also you have, like you said, like you've had times of, you know, chest infections that like made you bedridden and stuff, like horrible, yeah, horrible stuff. And I do think that there is, like, it's completely valid to have, like, I'm very conscious to use the word trauma, but like, I think that genuinely, like, those things really stick in your brain and give you big preoccupation around them. Like, yeah, I have it with anything to do with anxiety, because it was such a horrible bout when I first got it really, really badly, that any hint of that stuff, I think, get my brain has created an association that it's like, oh, it's that thing. And I think that does, yeah, make you like, oh God.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you're right. And I guess because innately anything that's to do with asthma and your lungs essentially means that you can breathe less well. And that just makes you think of death. So it's kind of like, oh, great, here we go. And also, I guess it's that it's that just feeling of I don't know, of permanence, of it never being cured or going away or whatever. But I thought what was, yeah, really interesting was I did have a little Google. Sorry, I'm coughing away here. There, I honestly,
are
I'm
you
not
under the weather?
No, I bloody am not. I've just had too much coffee. Right, so I had a little Google, because I was, this is what you do, you go to Dr. Google as soon as you're having some kind of strange effects. And I thought what was really interesting was that when I Googled post-marathon lung dysfunction, I think was essentially what I was saying, it came up with nothing apart from like very specific kind of medical, what do you call them? Like journals. like, you know, when it's got
like a study kind of thing.
Yeah.
Something by an et al.
Yes, exactly. There was lots of et al's. There was like teams of them. Mm-hmm. Well, I say lots of. I think there were like, it felt like there were two studies. And one of them was a study of 28 men. And like all of them seemed to be pointing to the same thing, which is, yeah, kind of, there is a thing. But none of them were complete. None of them were, obviously, if it's just a study of 28 men, like doing one marathon, that's not a really robust, you know, kind of cross section, is it? So it's like...
Not even a very good sample size.
It's a terrible sample size.
Even
if, and also just men. And it's like, why hasn't this been studied more? And does everyone feel like this when they finished a marathon? And what should we do about it? And how can we, I don't know, what do we need to be doing to, I mean, I guess that one of the things we need to be doing is not going running as much as I was running in the first week afterwards, but.
Yeah, I think so. I think recovery is probably, like, how much running did you do the week after?
Oh, none. I did nothing for a whole week.
You
did nothing.
Okay, good. Yeah. So you did have a full week of recovery.
I had a full week. Mm-hmm. I started on the Sunday afterwards. So it was a full 7 days afterwards. And I did 4 miles. I was a very, very, very slow trot on the foot on that.
Yeah.
And everything felt fine. What was quite nice was I do remember this time last year, we were just about to do the Bath Half. Do you remember? So like I'd done the London Marathon and I had a 2 week gap between London and Bath. And I remember going for a run within that first week of doing the London Marathon. And it just felt like everything was pinging off, like all physically, all my legs just felt like shit. And I felt like I picked up loads of injuries and stuff. And then I didn't run for about 3 or 4 days. And then I ran again and it was fine. So I can see that you, I don't know, you need time. You need time to recover.
You need time. And I'm glad that you gave yourself time. I'd be super inclined to say, and I mean, it's like, we need an expert maybe, don't we? Because this is all just like what I suppose. But I guess doing a marathon it's a huge feat of endurance, and that's why we do it, is it is the, you know, up there with the biggest running challenges that you can take on. And you are probably not, you're going to take time, your body's going to take time to recover from that. And that's why you don't do them every weekend.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know whether there is a way of sort of avoiding feeling, but do you think specifically... Because I guess if one of your sore spots a little bit is lungs, you know that that's something that like can recur, then maybe it is just, sorry, is that sound defeatist? Just slightly accepting that like you are probably going to feel a little bit like you're knackered in that area for a bit.
Yeah, no, that absolutely, I get that. And I think that's right. But what I want to know is how much do other people feel like within like their lungs, in that capacity, how do they feel after running a marathon? How do you feel, you know, how do you feel in the weeks after during recovery? What I really want to know, I guess, is in doing a marathon, are we causing ourselves any permanent damage? So it does the marathon in itself, I can see that it could exacerbate a flare up, but in the same way that a chest infection can leave me with scarring on my lungs, can running a marathon do the same thing?
Yeah, okay. I think we need to get an expert on, don't we? So let's have a chat to Juliet, or if anybody listening has any expert advice on this, then do get in touch, because I think that would be a very interesting thing to learn more about. Are there, and I'm sure the answer is going to be yes, but in terms of the specifics that we're discussing, are there long-term irreversible potentially, or kind of, you know, degrading over time effects that your body can go through after doing such a big endurance race?
Yeah, because I mean, obviously there are loads and loads of benefits to training for and then running the marathon. There's loads of other, you know, you've got so many other kind of benefits from doing that physically and mentally. But it's but obviously with every step you do, with that kind of repetitive movement of running, you are grinding things and you know, so yeah. That there are bits of you that you obviously you will kind of wear down, but that there's a natural wear and tear that happens. Oh yeah, it would just be interesting to know if that wear and tear also is reflected within kind of your lungs and stuff.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's
so,
kind of, I don't
you
know.
Should we even bother, basically, is the question we're asking. Big question today.
Yeah. I guess the other thing, very boringly, to carry on about kind of post-marathon stuff, is one thing would be really good to talk about is the post-marathon blues thing. I think
how have you felt? Well,
I think it got tied up in that a little bit.
Yeah.
I felt like shit, actually. Really, really unhappy after that.
And, yeah.
I think it's really weird, isn't it? Because we came back and we went into that week of like high stress and task driven stuff that we had to do in the week that we were back in the UK. And so I didn't have a chance for my feet to touch the ground or think about it very much until the following week when I'd started running again and I was finding running quite tricky and difficult. And I was forcing myself to go out. Absolutely forced it because I wanted to make myself like it again. I didn't like any of those runs in the first week that I did them, and I didn't really like them that much last week either. I think the last two runs have been nice, but prior to that they've all been rubbish. I was just coming home just thinking, how am I going to get the love for this again? What should I do? I couldn't even think to myself, oh, do you know what, tomorrow I'll do a spinning class or something. I had no motivation, no kind of desperation to do anything other than the easiest thing, which is running. And even that I didn't. Yeah. So all the enjoyment just got completely sucked away. There was just no, and there's no motivation. Like it all just falls out your ass. There's just, why am I bothering? What's the point? So like, especially that first week that I'd started running again, I felt really, really miserable. It felt such a long time since I'd done the New York. Like, I kept on having to check myself and just going, oh God, it's been fucking months. And then go, oh no, hang on, it's been 10 days.
It's only been a couple of weeks. Yeah. it really hasn't been long. How have you felt? So this was last week, right? Are you feeling the same thing where you're just a bit, because obviously you're running four times a week.
Yeah.
And doing boot camp. Like, that does seem to be like doing a lot of something that you're not enjoying.
I know, it does, doesn't it?
Yeah. Because there's no obligation. I know that not only do we put pressure on ourselves in terms of our fitness, in terms of maintaining a certain level of fitness, but I think that me and you sometimes maybe have the added pressure as well. Well, maybe not just me and you. Maybe this also applies to lots of our pod squadders who are in the Discord chat, who are patrons, maybe we feel a bit of an obligation to stay apart, that we have to run, keep running to stay a part of this community. You're still, if you need to take a break of a few weeks because you're like, I'm actually not enjoying this, which is 100% when you shouldn't force it, because you're only going to keep creating a negative association with that thing where you're like, oh, I hate doing this. It's okay to give yourself a bit of time off if you're like, I'm not loving it at the moment. And you are still a valid editor of Women's Running Magazine. You are still a valid part of our pod squad gang. And if you're not running all the time at the moment and you need to have a sort of off season a little bit in order to maintain both the, you know, the physical stuff, but also the love as well.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
I'm sorry, they're probably all screaming at me being like, I can't believe you're telling Esther not to run. I'm absolutely not. But I think in terms of trying to keep, you're such a disciplined person and that's an amazing thing, but trying to keep yourself to a schedule where you're like, I'm running four times a week, but I'm actually not really enjoying it at the moment. It is a lot of time to dedicate to something that you're not really enjoying. And there is no obligation and none of us will be like, what the hell? Esther hasn't run this week. We don't want to hear from her.
Yeah, I do. I completely appreciate that. But I think there's so much that the reason why I do things are so internalized and I mean, there is, I guess, some concept of external pressure, but like I do think that the whole concept of running for me is so wrapped up in part of my identity that were I to stop doing it, I'm not entirely sure who I am.
Be like, yeah, I completely understand that. Yeah.
And I have no idea of how to make myself feel okay during the day without going for a run. Like,
I know that's the big downside, isn't it? Is it's like you are like forcing yourself to do something that you don't want to do and giving yourself a negative association with exercise where you're like, oh, I've got to do this thing, even though I know I'm not enjoying it at the moment, is never a great thing. But it is really complex because then the way that you can feel after doing that stuff, it doesn't go away just because you're not enjoying the thing so much. You know, you still often get the endorphins after doing it, which then gives your brain a bit of a weird thing because it's like, oh, but even though I really didn't want to do it and I really didn't enjoy that run at all today, I still did feel good afterwards. And because of course you're going to feel good chemically. Yeah.
I had so on the runs themselves, they all felt, you know, mundane to shit apart from the last two, I'd say. And but afterwards, yeah, exactly that. I know I'm just repeating what you just said. I'm Esther-splaining. But yeah, exactly the same thing.
No, don't worry. Do it. Do it for anyone who didn't listen because they were running and they zoned out for that bit.
But I have exactly the same thing. Yeah, for sure. I'd come back. I would feel a bit shit about it. I'd have a shower. I'd start work. And then the rest of the day would feel better because I'd done it. And it's always the case where on the run days, I feel happier than the non-run days when I don't feel so happy. So I feel like if I don't do that, if I let myself have time off, that everything will just slide. Like, and I don't mean fitness in a way. I mean mentally that I have to keep on doing it. This is a very good time to subscribe to Women's Running or think about giving a gift subscription for that big date in December you might be thinking about. Because right now, when you subscribe, as well as receiving the best magazine in the world, you'll also get a free exclusive Women's Running technical tee worth £35. It's beautiful, it's blue, and it says Happy Running on the back to help motivate you and your brilliant running buddies too. Just go to shop.womensrunning.co.uk/become a member and enter X23WRPOD, that's pod, at the checkout for your free tee. And please remember to send us a pic of you wearing it.
Yeah, I've got that a little bit at the moment with my workout video that I'm doing, which unsurprisingly, 14 weeks or whatever it now is down the line, I am starting to loathe with every fibre of my being. I've even started turning the sound off of it so that I can play my audiobook instead while I do it because I don't fucking want to hear their voices ever again in my life. But because I was like, oh, I love doing the same thing over and over again. It's great. You can really track your progress. Oh my God. No progress and hate it now more than ever before. That's the only progress I've made is towards loathing them.
Have you thought about doing a different one?
Yeah, I should. But I feel like it's that same thing that you're saying where it's like, that's lodged in my brain as like, I do that every week at the same time. Mm. And that allows me to, like, I worry that if I don't do it or if I change it up or if I give myself any excuse to, like, not do the same thing, then it will cause not just, yeah, my fitness to maybe slide, but will I do the washing up? We're like, because I'm really like that. I'm such an all or nothing gal. Like, if I've had a bad day at work, I think there are so many people who are brilliant out there at picking themselves up and going, right, okay, well, I'm going to go and tidy the house and I will curl in a ball and tell myself I'm a piece of shit all night long. Mm-hmm. Whereas if I've had a good day and I've got all my tasks done and I did my workout video and I've ordered my Hello Fucking Fresh stuff and I've done the washing up and I've whatever else, then I'm really like, I can sort of maintain that raring to go vibe.
Yeah.
So it is a bit, I have the same thing where it does feel quite tied up in a sort of like, mentally, will I become somebody who is really struggling with self-esteem and who then it becomes 10 times more difficult to get myself to do anything. It is a balance, but I wonder if both of us should try being a bit brave and remembering that exercise is, you know, something that we do to keep ourselves healthy. But it is also something that we started doing and that we talk about every week because we actually enjoy it. And if we're not, then maybe we do need to shake things up because there's always the opportunity to go back to things. If it goes tits up and we don't do very well at our new routines for the next couple of weeks, then that's okay.
I do.
Like maybe just cutting it down to 3 runs a week or something might just give you a bit of like a way to, I know that feels stressful because that's changing a routine that's worked really, really well for you, a pattern that is ingrained in your brain of reward and, you know, the hard work, the reward, the hard work, the reward that's worked really, really well for you mentally. But if you're in a slump with it and it's not really doing that for you anymore, then
yeah,
it's fine to change that up completely.
It's interesting that I saw there was an email came through from Laura Fountain and she was talking about, I saw this just like about a month ago, which I thought was fascinating. She never runs more than 3 times a week. And she she is a speedy girl. And
she's a like speedy goat. Yeah.
She totally is. But she never runs more than 3 times a week. And I thought that was really, really super interesting because at the moment, yeah, I've done that thing where I have made myself do 4 times a week since I've been on this kind of training block to do the marathon. And now that I'll come out the other side, the idea of not doing 4 times a week is somehow wrong. But I think I was doing 3 times a week before I started training for the marathon. I'm pretty sure I was doing that. I was just filling the other days with other things. So I was like doing a spin class or a couple of boot camps or whatever. I was doing things like that.
Yeah.
So I just need to fine. Yeah, you're right. I don't know why I'm beating myself up about stuff, but
no,
I think
you're even slightly, and I'm reticent to say this because I don't, you know, I think that you should do exactly what you want to do. If you want to exercise that many times a week, then you go for it. But even just automatically trying to replace it with something else, like replace it with like, you're genuinely so entitled to replace it with like sitting down and having a cup of tea and listening to Women's Hour or having a bath or something like that for a bit and see how that affects things, you know? And it might be like, I don't really like doing that. I would prefer to move my body. But also you might be like, oh God, yeah, that is actually serving me much better at the moment. I guess it's, don't be nasty to yourself, basically. But also,
I try not to be.
I know you don't. And you do, sorry, I know you try not to be. But also, yeah, I don't want to be the voice of also just beating you up in a similar way by being like, you're being horrid to yourself, stop doing it all, because obviously it does have lots of benefits as well for your brain. So I think allowing yourself to go on vibe a little bit rather than just sort of going, oh, this is what I normally do. It's okay to have a shift in your routine now that you've just done a big challenge.
Yeah. And do you know what? I think there was something that Tina Chantry said on And she put, in fact, I've missed one of the things. She went for a run after she, because she did the New York Marathon as well. And she went for a run and she posted a nice little video up. And she said, this is how shit my brain is. She said, there are three things you need to do after a marathon. And I can only remember two of them. I forgot what the third one is. One of them was to rest and not, she was actually not running. She was walking. That I think that was the big point of that.
Yeah.
One of them was to rest for as long as you needed to. And one of them, I think probably the third one, so I've missed out the middle one and I can't remember what that one was. The third one was to sign up to another race. And it was to kind of, which seems like you're doing something very, very peculiar. And there was no way that I could even think about it in that week, actually. And I was, in that week, I was offered a race space. And I had to reply to the very, very lovely PR who we know and love and say to her, can you just hang fire a minute and I'll reply to you next Monday? Because all that week,
because it's like, giving me a wobbly lit.
I can't. But I replied, I replied sort of 10 days later and said, yeah, do it. I'll do it. And it's not a marathon. It's a half marathon and it's February. And I was like, okay. All right.
I guess that'll it can be one of two things, having that date in the diary, because I guess you could see it as already gearing yourself up for the next thing when you're after doing a huge, huge feat like a marathon, your body and your brain both need a rest. But I guess it is also like giving yourself permission to have that rest in a way, because if you can then work backwards from another, as long as you've given yourself time, then you can work backwards from a certain point that means that you don't, you know, if you're following a training plan, for example, then you can make sure that you've got a month or two between to just kind of like tick along, just doing the exercise that you enjoy doing before you ramp back up to another training thing. And maybe for people who are like you, who are very organized and disciplined and great, it helps you to sort of compartmentalize that time. So you're like, this is my recovery period. And then I start again on the 7th of December or whatever it is.
Oh my God, you're so fucking right. It's absolutely what I need to do. And I'm going to do it straight after this, actually, is I'm going to figure out the weeks, how long it's going to take to get there. Because it's not very far away, actually, is it, February? But because of my current level of fitness, I'm not starting from zero. So I don't need to think about doing like a 12-week training plan or anything like that. And in fact, if I'm really honest about it, the first time I did the marathon live in person, you know, in London, I did that on a really, really short training plan because I didn't realize it was going to happen. And so I did it in 10 weeks, something like that. So I know that I can train for a half marathon in a short space of time and feel confident about completing it as long as nothing happens to me, touch wood, da 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 da. So I don't really, you're right, I don't need to think about it until mid-December. And even then, I'll be starting from, I don't know, like a sort of 10K. That's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine, isn't it?
Exactly. So, it just gives you a bit of time to like, I think you even need less than 10. I've done zero to half marathon in like 10 weeks. Not advisable, but I think you don't even need quite that long. And then maybe that just gives you a little bit of like that permission that you can...
Yeah.
You can allow your brain to switch off from worrying about whether you're doing enough, because you know that your job now is actually to look after your body and make sure that you're raring to go come time to start that training plan for the next one.
Yeah. And it's after, you know, we had that lovely pod squad, didn't we, that wrote in and just said, look, unless you want to get faster, there's no point doing all the technical stuff. And it's and the half marathon, should I tell you where it is?
Yeah.
Am I going to make you really jealous? Because it's...
Oh! Is it abroad?
It's abroad. Barcelona.
Oh my God, I'm so jealous. I haven't been to Barcelona since we went on a school trip in year 9. And it was amazing. Doug and I were literally talking about it the other day. We were like, oh, love to go to Barcelona. Sorry, I was going to talk about that school trip. Doesn't matter. Anyway, tell me more about the race.
Yeah, and I've not been to Barcelona. I went away with work, like not this work, but with a previous work. I went about 7-8 years ago, we went. And it was just a great big drunken day and a half or something. So this is a trip that I've been offered, and yeah, includes a half marathon. And I have absolutely zero expectation or hope or need to run it any faster than I've done any other half marathon.
No.
And slower the better, because it's around Barcelona. So fuck that. I just want to...
Lovely. That'll be dreamy. Yeah. And nice temperatures in Barcelona in February. That'd be really nice.
I hope so. Yeah. Yeah. So that'd be...
Yeah.
A nice... Yeah, so I mean, that's a nice
thing to be like
to.
Not hot, but it will be hopefully, you know, like maybe September here. That's what I'm imagining.
Well, I hope so. Let's do it.
I've completely made that
she
up.
She has completely made that up.
I did want to ask you... So, yes. Hang on. I will look it up. Average temperature...
Yeah.
In Barcelona. Barcelona. What I really wanted to ask you that I'm most interested in... Oh, you got 15 degree highs, 8 degree lows. Yeah. Mild. Mild.
Lovely. Yeah. Jumping. Yeah.
Have they finally finished the Sagrada Familia? That's what I want to know.
Isn't that just going on and on and on and on until it takes is over that the entire world?
Is that the whole shtick? Like,
yeah, I reckon.
Are they trying to make it? Because when I went on this school trip in year nine, so for me, that would have been 2009 or something. They said, it's going to be finished in 2016. That was a bollocks, wasn't it?
Yeah,
Are they still building it?
When I went, which would have been about 2016, I remember that they were scaffolding up, but that doesn't mean that they were still building it. It might just mean that they were fixing.
Oh, look, what a surprise. They're going to finish it in 2026 now. They're just going to keep adding 10 years, aren't they? Apparently, they really, really do want to do it for 2026 this time because it's the 100th anniversary of Gaudi's death. So they really, really want to get it done for then. So they'll really try.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think it's all a scam.
Cheers. Bless them.
I can't fucking believe they've not finished that. Pull their fucking fingers out. What have they been doing? Sorry. I don't know what it's like.
Mosaics take a long time.
Ornate church cathedral, but yeah. It does feel like, you know, hundreds of years feels like, you know, maybe over-egging the pudding a little bit.
It is a little bit, isn't it? It is. Bearing in mind, yeah, we've just but then my the family Empire State Building.
Yes, they did that in like 2 years.
Yeah. Yeah,
it was crazy. Actually, they did that well, so I can't really say that. But Taylor family motto, quickly and badly, that's how we love to do things. And I can't relate to, I think maybe the tree themed alcove in this particular cloister needs to have more ornate chiseling on that cherub's chin or something like that. It's just...
Yeah.
It's really not how my brain functions.
Just get it done.
How are you going to get it? Yeah, just get it done. God.
Speaking of which, did we have any emails? And if we do have any emails, should we use a jingle at this point?
Oh, yes. It's time for the What You Saying jingle.
Let's do it.
What are you saying this week?
Okay, go on then. What have we had?
Got so many emails that I didn't really know where to start. I think that where I'm going to begin, please do bear with if we've not read out your email yet. We've had so many recently and it's been completely lovely. So do keep sending them in because we'll get to them all. It's just because we've had quite a lot of bonkers stuff going on. We've not been able to read as many as normal. But this one is timely, so I'm going to do this one first. This is both from Kay and Ling Kwan. And I apologize if I've pronounced either of your names wrong. But both of them are saying that are confirming that US bathrooms, our experience in New York is not unique to Manhattan or to New York itself. This is
it's
US
the whole
bathrooms.
Of America.
So it's the whole of America. So let me just see. It's definitely confirming that Manhattan is not the only place to get those. But this was interesting. So it was Ling Kwan who said that her husband, who is French and moved to the US in his early 30s, lived there for a bit, was then complaining about bathrooms in France because of the fact that they had the top to bottom clothes being too stinky because there isn't the same amount of airflow then compared to a US toilet where there is a lot better airflow, hence slatted doors, et cetera, et cetera.
Oh, I much prefer stink to like visibility.
I prefer to smell someone's shite than I would have someone watch me do one. But then Kay has also made a very interesting point here where she has said, she's chimed in to say I'll read you the story. Went to Vegas in June, first time going to the States in nearly 20 years. But I remember thinking how terrible the toilet doors were when I was in Vegas. Also came across those doors with slats, and they're just so weird. She said, what I don't think you mentioned is that in Vegas, there were also thin gaps on the side of the door you could absolutely see in and out and in of. There were those two in New York, weren't there? There were very much gaps that you could see in and out of.
Definite gaps.
To the side of the doors. But she confirms her husband said, because he has been to various places in the US and has traveled around the country, that all toilet doors are like that in the US. And horrifyingly, in his office HQ, like in his company building, the doors are like that in the office toilets, the slatted ones. I know.
Awful.
Wow. Wow. Really going to get to know your colleagues. What about peeping Toms? Do you get peeping Toms?
Maybe it's because you don't. They don't need to exist because everyone's a peeper.
No. Yeah.
Oh my god.
There we go. That was. Thank you both for writing in and confirming. That was fascinating stuff. And I am
never going to America again. That is it. I'm done.
Any US listeners who would like to weigh in on this debate, please tell us more about why, what, where and how.
I mean,
this has been allowed to happen.
It's not on, is it? It's not cricket. It's up there with my experience of French campsite toilets in the 1980s.
Squatters ones.
Yeah. Yeah. Which was just
holes in the ground.
Terrifying. Terrifying when you're like 8 years old and never witnessed anything like that before.
The only place I witnessed that was worse than that was when I went to China when I was a kid. And we went to, it was the loos in, I believe, a shopping mall. And I was very, very fortunate that it was probably a hugely westernized experience because we went with, my mum was going for work and she managed to swing it so that we could come as a family and experience it with her. And she was going with a colleague who lives in Wales and worked in Wales with her at the time, but was Chinese. And so she knew all the tips and tricks and was showing us the poshest places and taking us around. And I really felt like she orchestrated the trip so that we had to experience, we had very, maybe quite Western experiences of things that meant that most of the time we were in gorgeous sit down loos with, I don't know, a lovely view or something. It was all very poshly organized. But a couple of the times that we did venture out into sort of like did some stuff like go to street markets or there was one day where we went to a shopping mall and I had to go to the loo there and that was squat loos. But not only that, no doors. Straight up in front of each other. Piss and shit.
Oh my god.
Yeah. Level.
Yeah,
so that was that was I don't know whether that's normal in China. I don't imagine so. But also I wouldn't want to comment on my experience of the rest of the trip. That was certainly the only time that we encountered that, but I do think that my mum's friend Annabelle was making sure that we were having a very like luxury experience the whole time, bless her. Yeah. So I think, anyway, that was crazy.
Goodness. Okay.
Yeah. Do you want another one?
Yes, go on then.
Because we have got time. So we have got a really, really interesting debate sort of slash rant thing I wanted to talk about from a lovely listener called Ruby, but that I think I'm going to save that till next week because I feel already like we will bang on about this. I think it's going to pique your interest big time. so this is just a a good old funny story, embarrassing, silly story, because we haven't had one of those in a while.
Mm.
And this is from wonderful Shayna. Thank you very much for writing in, Shayna, and sharing. Again, I do apologize for everybody's name pronunciation today. But she said, I have a funny story to share with you from a recent run that I thought you would both appreciate. On my weekend long run, I was listening to a brilliant podcast in my ears. I think you can guess which one. The kind of banter we love to hear. Thank you, Shayna. When I felt that familiar stabbing gut pain that meant I had the sudden need to fart. I was on a long, straight stretch of road with only low bushes around. So I had a good scan to make sure the coast was clear and let rip. Mm-hmm. It was a doozy and I immediately felt better. Until that is, I looked to my right to see a man and his dog having a break on a low fence behind one of the bushes. He gave me a look that I decided to take as him being impressed by my effort and carried on with a very red face, but at least no more gas. Oh, running is such a fun game. Anyway, hope you've had a good laugh. Loved that very much. It really, really made me laugh. Thank you, Shayna. We've all had that fear. Do you know what?
So absolutely had that fear, but it really reminds me of, there was a guy that I used to know, like, oh God, this must have been like 30 years ago. I remember him talking about how he desperately needed to fart when it was in House of Fraser. And I remember he said that it was a really early Sunday morning or something. And he walked in and he looked around, he did that thing of scanning around, noticing there was no one there and thinking, I'm just going to walk quickly, let one rip kind of thing. So he walked really quickly, had a little pump. And suddenly he heard a kind of, ew, what's that smell behind him? And there was a little boy who...
a little tiny Tim.
Yeah.
Oh, God. That's who I'm imagining.
So always check down low. Oh, my God. Just in case.
Yeah. There we go. That's the moral of both of those stories. Yeah. We actually had someone let rip in, I don't think we mentioned this as part of our holiday roundup from our New York trip. That when we were wandering around the gift shop of the Met, we just had a bloke just like do a
yeah,
huge
my
gulf.
God. He wouldn't yeah. stop, would he? Just
he was just brazenly doing it.
It was hilarious. It was. I'm not entirely sure he could hear himself, but yeah, it was good fun. Yeah.
No, maybe he wasn't really conscious of how loud they were, but they were rippers.
I'd forgotten all about that. Yeah.
Well, there we go. We have got many a letter more, but I'm going to leave them for this week and fill you in on the rest next week.
Let's do them next week. And I've got controversy. I hate saying that. Controversy. I have controversy. Next week, I want to talk about
should we have a controversial episode in general then next week?
Let's do it. Next week is the controversial episode. So next week, I want to talk about food. I want to talk about Christmas dinner and guilt and exercise and all sorts because of stuff that came through today. So let's do that next week.
Cool.
And, in the meantime, we've got a Bake Off finale to record. Finale?
Oh,
do I mean
yes,
that?
We do.
Final.
Yeah, finale in the theatre.
What a twat.
We are very excited to, we love you in all of your idiosyncrasies. Sorry, I don't know why we're both speaking like this on the podcast today. We're very excited that we are going to be recording the Bake Off episode in person. I don't even know if there's any point saying this because I'm just going to let you all down now. We were really hoping to be able to like goggle boxify it. It turns out without the Channel 4 production team to hand,
tricky.
Not so easy to do that. So instead, we are going to have some goodies specifically for patrons lined up for Bake Off finale times. But we're definitely going to be recording for all of you lot, everybody, in person, a silly, lovely thoughts on the episode with cake.
Yeah, can't wait. Absolutely can't wait. I can't wait for the cake, actually. That's going to be the nice thing.
I can't wait for the cake. It'd be really interesting, though, to see whether any does materialise because we both kind of had a bit of a like put our heads together this morning. It's Monday morning of day of record, and this morning we did a bit of a like, okay, what's going on this week? What have we got to orchestrate? And actually, one of the big stresses was, oh my god, when the fuck are we going to bake a lemon meringue pie for each other?
Yeah. I would be just as happy with a pink Mr. Kipling French Fancy. So
you don't want a lemon meringue pie, really.
I want a pink.
You don't
Kipling.
Want that. Yeah, okay. But I have to make you something, because if we taste test them for each other, then you're gonna be like, yup, tastes like a Mr. Kipling.
Yeah, 10 out of 10.
I want to judge them for like Prue and Paul would. Well, we'll God, go away, but we'll okay. and have a think.
We'll have a think.
Yeah. We'll certainly have some interesting, silly things to do with you all. But in the meantime, I hope you enjoy the Bake Off finale. It's been an absolute pleasure to film and record. Don't know why I'm saying filming. Sorry.
Can't
speak this week.
Do you know what? It's because you're hungry.
We've loved doing them. I'm so hungry. My scrambled eggs, I can see the fucking eggs in the corner of the room. But we've absolutely loved doing it. And I would just like to, keep you informed that we will be carrying on, obviously, doing our weekly ep for the rest of the year. We won't be doing the second episode. We're going to just have a little bit of a break, we've decided.
Yes.
Because it is a little knackering doing both. But as of January, we are going to have another very interesting bonus thing to do with you all. Am I allowed to say this?
You're allowed to say bonus thing. We'll do plans afoot.
Okay,
let's
cool.
launch it next week if we can.
Okay, sounds good. But we will be returning
to... It's
going to
be super exciting.
It's going to be super exciting. Who knows whether we'll do it forever, because it is very, very stressful trying to do 2 a week. But we will be returning to 2 a week format for something, at least for a bit. That's all we can say.
Cool. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
We should work in marketing,
shouldn't
we?
Looking forward to January. Yeah. That's going to be not stressful at all. Woo!
Thank you for listening. Come and join us on Patreon. You can get a ton of extra Pod Squad benefits from just £2 a month, including newsletters, live chats, and you can join our exclusive Discord community for friendly chat and support with like-minded women runners. Go to patreon.com/womensrunning to find out more. This podcast was recorded over Zencastr. The producer and composer was David Newman. Please hit like and subscribe. That way you won't miss the next episode. Do please email us at wrpodcast@anthem.co.uk with any questions or running stories, as we would love to include them in a future podcast. Happy running.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hi. This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.